Welcome back to the Jeff Force Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning, or what's left of this Thursday morning. Mallory Poppy, text line 251-343-0106. Joining us now, probably abbreviated, but we'll make the most of our time here with our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott, who's stepping in today because we won't do a live show tomorrow. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I am doing well. It's always nicer to talk to you after the week's over and we're back in South Alabama, but we're in the thick of it up here today.
Well, lay it on the – kind of explain to us a little bit, and I probably butchered the process, but it looks like some things are going to start happening maybe to get things moving along this year. And what does that look like?
Well, you know, we've got a supermajority in both chambers, and we've talked about this before, that there are, you know, you try to run things as smoothly, you know, as you can for as long as you can. And eventually I think that, you know, we'll start having to deal with some controversial things that our friends on the other side of the aisle don't like. And when that happens, I don't know, but I do know that those are things that obviously we're going to have to take up at some point in the near future. Because we are running out of time in order to get them out of, you know, one chamber and down to the other for consideration. And so, you know, we try, and leadership tries to, you know, certainly to work with our colleagues on the other side as much as possible. But there is a point where you have to say, hey, we're going to pass some of these conservative pieces of legislation. And I know that there have been questions about that and when that's going to happen. And I don't know the answer to that, except for that, just based on the math and the number of days left, that's something that's likely to, you know, start happening here pretty soon.
I mean, it's essentially this. I mean, you know, the House much different than the Senate. In the Senate, you got to deal with filibusters sometimes. Well, all the time it seems like.
Yeah.
And today we gotta get the trains moving finally.
Yeah, and you know, and again, whether that's a today or a next week, you know, I don't know the answer to that. I think just based on the math again and the number of days we have left, it's going to be time to start moving some of these pieces of legislation. Or frankly, if it is a leadership decision to say, you know, look, we're not going to take up any of these controversial things. We've got budgets to do. You know, whatever. Those are leadership decisions to make. But you know, I think it is objectively pretty clear that you're either going to have to start using some tools in the toolbox to pass some of these bills that our Democrat colleagues object to, or you're going to have to let them kill them and move on with other things that are more, you know, more neutral, middle of the road, you know, just trying to make government work. And so those are leadership, you know, questions and decisions that they'll make, and that we've entrusted them with the responsibility of making.
We got State Senator Chris Elliott here on the line. Fallout from Baldwin County tax dispute. I mean, it seemed to kind of crescendo last week. Still some things going on. I guess after we got off the air on Friday, Superintendent Tyler sent out a letter using you know, the county school board resources to attack you. You responded. Where are we now?
Yeah, that was pretty disappointing. A county superintendent and county school board shouldn't treat anyone like that, whether they're parents, students, you know, constituents, whatever you want to call them. That was really something to watch and to read. And, I think at the end of the day, this is a very legitimate question about distributing, you know, tax levies, you know, that were levied countywide by the Alabama legislature. It's the responsibility of the Alabama legislature to update those statutes as is necessary when things change, and things have changed in Baldwin County. And so we got two new school systems than we did when the original statute was passed. And so I think it's only fair to distribute those monies in some manner, shape, form, or manner. I filed a couple of bills that are a couple of different ways of distributing it. So that my colleagues can have, you know, we can collect it countywide and we split it up by the number of students. We can collect it in essentially in the school districts and what they raise, they keep. I mean, there are different ways to do it, and I'm certainly agreeable to negotiate on that. But there is no doubt, and I think even my colleagues that, you know, don't want to do this because it's a tough vote, and I understand that. But even they will tell you, you know, look, this is a reasonable thing to do. We're going to have to do this eventually. And my argument is, if you're going to do it eventually because it's the fair and right thing to do, well, let's go ahead and do it. You know, let's go ahead and give kids, again, children instead of educrats, the funding that they raise in their district, or at least a portion of it based on ADM. I mean, this is not a, should not be a complicated issue.
Well, and it's interesting because, you know, this was my lineup discussion. You've resorted to these tactics just because you run out of tactics. But even if you're not successful this session, I mean, this isn't going away. I mean, they may hold you off for 1 year, but eventually they're going to, something's going to break, I would assume.
Yes. Yes. And I agree. I mean, I think again, my colleagues even will acknowledge that this is an untenable position for the long term. What I've tried to do is use the tools that I have to at least get this discussion out there and happening. What you did have was, frankly, the county school board just using, you know, in all fairness, the tools they have to obfuscate, to, you know, try to throw a bunch of different information out and the numbers a bunch of different ways. And then, you know, to have certain members of the legislature just delay or not even attend, delegation meetings to even have a conversation on this topic. And so, you know, you have to figure out a way to get the conversation rolling. And I think everybody would agree we've certainly done that. Now the question is, how do you compromise on this and reach a fair and equitable solution? Because what we have now is not fair. It's not equitable and it's not sustainable. It's going to change. It's just a matter of when and what that looks like. And so I just want to get everybody to the table, negotiate a solution, divide things up fairly for the school systems that exist now and for those that are likely to, you know, be considered at minimum in the future, so that there is some certainty on how this is going to work moving forward.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. The budgets, you still got to do those. What was the number one time frame look like? When do you get to put those behind you guys? And then I guess that's when the fun really typically starts. But, and I'm being facetious, obviously. But what's your impressions on the budgets? I mean, they're bigger than ever. But number one and number two, like, what is that process? Where are we at?
So we've got the bigger than ever, but we've also got some tax cuts to look at. And those are things that are coming relatively soon. And so we're going to have to look at those. I saw 1819 did a story about that, and Pro Tem Gutter talking about improving upon the House budget cuts and tax cuts. And that's what we need to do, right? We've got more money than we've ever had. Let's look at some of these tax cuts. Now, what are they? What do they look like? You know, we'll have to see where the legislature goes. But I'm really excited that the conversation is, you know, fundamentally, we have the biggest budgets we've ever had. How are we going to cut taxes? As opposed to just, we have the biggest budgets we've ever had. How are we going to spend it all? We have really, I think, under some really good leadership in both the House and Senate, decided we have really good budgets, big budgets. How are we going to cut taxes? And that's a win for conservatives.
Yeah, and you know, what are we to make of these budgets ever expanding? And I mean, a couple of years ago, Senator, whenever I had the budget chairman on, be it the House or the Senate, it was like, well, tough times are ahead and you better get ready. And, you know, and obviously there's a lot of federal money kind of making its way through the system, but really haven't seen a big drop off. And maybe, not that I'm cheering for that at all, but we haven't really seen a big drop off as has been, you know, sort of predicted.
No, we haven't yet. I do think both the budget chairs are very conservative in their projections. That's a difference from when the Democrats were in charge, is they tended to really outstate what they thought revenue projections were going to be. And we have not done that since the Republicans took over, and it is really bearing fruit now. And so they are continuing to watch markets, watch interest returns that fund a lot of the general fund budget right now, to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars a year. And so we continue to watch those things. Do I think there's going to be a change and a downturn and a slowdown in revenue? Yes, we've been saying that for years. If for no other reason than the federal handouts have stopped, the Biden handouts. And so it's going to get a lot tighter, and that's okay. I like that. That's a good way for government to constrain itself. And so I'm kind of looking forward to tighter budgets. But as long as I've been here, they've been ever increasing, and it is really hard to control the growth of government when there's plenty of money.
Well, and let's talk about the tax cuts themselves. And the House passed their package. What's the reception by the Senate? I haven't heard a lot of talk about those, maybe with the exception of Senator Orr a little bit here and there. But, what do you think of it? What seems to be the mood among your colleagues?
Well, Senator Orr is going to be leading the charge on that as the education budget chair. And that's where most of these tax cuts will land and what they'll affect. But I think, again, the good news is for Alabamians is, the conversation is we've got record budgets. How do we cut taxes? And so it's something a lot of us have been saying for a while, and it's happened incrementally. But I think you're going to see a number of different pieces of legislation, whether it's Senator Sessions' very good bill that deals away with the business personal property taxes. And so you've got some of that. I mean, we need to continue to look at things like that. And of course the grocery tax and other things. We're just going to have to start doing some math on where do we cut, how much do we cut, and not take what is a good budget and run it into the ground. I just hope we can continue to have those conversations moving forward.
Last question. We'll get you out of here on this, 'cause I know you got to move, but, the overtime tax, is it the tax cut? Is that lost?
I think it is. I think that, the House has made the decision not to move that piece of legislation. I've been supportive of that. I applaud my Democrat colleague, Representative Daniels for bringing that measure. I think it really did a lot of good and was doing a lot of good. But I think the desire by the body is to really broaden the scope of those tax cuts to affect everyone in Alabama. And there's merit in that argument. I mean, there really is. Again, I'm just glad we're talking about cutting taxes. That's something that I've wanted to do for a long time. And so whether it's overtime or groceries or, business, personal property, I'm just happy we're talking about cutting taxes. And I want to make sure we do that both to get money, let the people of Alabama keep more of their hard-earned money, but also to constrain the growth of government, both of which are very important to me.
Well, the penny off the grocery tax, I mean, wasn't it statutory that it was going to come off at some point anyway? I mean, the budget's just continuing to grow, and it was all about the growth of the budgets. And is this in place of that?
It is both. The budgets, you are correct. There was a trigger in the grocery tax cut that required a percentage growth in the budget. We did not hit that before. Whether or not we hit that again in the future will depend on, again, growth. And we just talked about things slowing down some. So this is a guaranteed way to make that go ahead and happen, regardless of whether or not the growth is there. And again, I'm looking to cut taxes wherever we can, responsibly, of course, but wherever we can. And if I've got consensus and something that will pass, I'd much rather focus on that than something that, again, I don't even have out of the House to focus on. I got what's in front of me to move here. And again, you remember these tax things have to come out of the House of Representatives. Right. And so I'm looking at what I got on the plate, and I'm trying to make sure we can move.
Senator, we'll let you get to business here, but thanks for hopping on.
Thanks, buddy. Y'all have a great day.
State Senator Chris Elliott adjusting his time schedule there to come on, and because we will be on tomorrow. DEI texter, fundamental fairness is terms liberals use. Elliott has gone woke. I mean, it's context, DEI texter. If fundamental fairness as far as class warfare goes and making sure that the wealthy are paying their fair share is a what you want to apply that to, then that's one thing. But applying it to taxation, which is essentially without representation, not even just representation, but also taxation without any kind of return on investment, I think fundamental fairness applies to that discussion. Unnamed texter, make sure you correct Elliott. They've already increased taxes on Alabamians. They did raise the grocery tax. There's no getting away from that. Unnamed texter, will Alabama ever have a vehicle inspection program to take all the junk cars off the road? I mean, with the busted windshield, half off fender, no headlight on one side, it's got to be a limit to what the state can be put on the road or what can be put on the road. Alabama's always had sort of a different approach to that. And, you know, a lot of people will tell you that that's the way we want it here. I don't, you know, maybe there should be some guardrails or at least some kind of minimal, you know, standard for what's allowable on the road. But Alabama's tends to be a little different in that regard. Jerry, by not raising taxes, if people were to get off their, you know, watts and make the overtime tax permanent, it would be great. I can understand why that piece of crap voted for the gas tax. You can understand or can't. Anyway, there's not really enough time to elaborate on that. But I say this, Jerry. It was a different time, the Alabama legislature, when they passed that in 2019. And a lot of promises were made. A lot of promises were broken. So having to learn the hard way. I mean, there's no getting away from it. He voted for the gas tax. But knowing what we know now, would he do it again? And I think he said no. But it is what it is. Let's get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
I keep my eyes wide open all